Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
It's time to awaken to greater awareness, greater discernment, and higher purpose. You cannot move into this new spiritual level without an awakening. And today is the awakening day. God is calling you up higher. Quiet the busyness in your soul so you can follow His leading. You are on the threshold of a great awakening. Ask God for fresh eyes and open ears, and then believe you have received it. Your challenges and problems have been the main thing on your mind. This has to change. God is calling you, saying, "Let me be the main thing on your mind." Harness your mind and your heart and bring it to me. Now, I'd like you just to pray that word in right now. Just take it, and whatever right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just pray it in. Just pray it in. Just pray it in. Pray it in. Amen. Jesus, after resurrection, was 40 days on the earth in resurrected body before he went into his ascension. For 40 days, he had 12 visible appearances in his resurrected body to his disciples. And people say things like, "Man, I wished I could have been one of those people that actually saw him in his resurrected body with my own eyes." But Jesus said to the disciples who were amazed after they saw him on one of those appearances, Jesus said, "Blessed, or because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Can I get an amen? Amen. That's us. That's you and I. See, you think seeing Jesus with your own eyes, if he would appear before you right now, would remove all doubt from your life. But Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and the very first one, and he told her, "Go back and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee, and there they would see him." And in Matthew 28, it says, "But the 11 disciples," because Judas was gone now, "the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful." So I'm telling you today that God's calling for you is not to be able just to see everything in the natural so you can remove all doubt. He's calling you to a higher level. He's always been calling you to a higher level. He's been calling you to see him in ways you've never seen him before. I think the answer is, why were some of these people doubtful when they actually saw and talked with Jesus in person? How could they doubt? How could they doubt that Jesus was alive? How could they question? But it says some worshiped, but some were doubtful. I think the answer is in another appearance that Jesus made to some other disciples on the very day that he was resurrected. And these two disciples were filled with doubt themselves. And particularly, These disciples had seen Jesus scourged to the point that the Bible says he was marred more than any man. They saw him crucified. They saw him breathe his last. They knew what a dead body looked like, and they saw him die. They saw him placed in a tomb. And yet all these things are in their mind. And things had not turned out like they expected. Even though Jesus said the Son of Man must be crucified and killed on the third day, he'll rise again. He said that many times, but many of them, even though he said that, they were deeply disappointed with the way Jesus' life turned out. It was not like they expected. You've got your Bible, go to Luke chapter 24, because not all of it's going to be up on the screen. I'd like it when you have your Bible or use your Bible to read along. In Luke chapter 24, there were these two disciples who were deeply discouraged, and they had heard the reports from Mary Magdalene and some of the other disciples saying that Jesus was alive, but they were depressed and they were discouraged and they were doubtful, and they were walking away from Jerusalem to a little town about 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus Road. And you've learned about this experience. You've probably read about this before, but today I'm praying that you have fresh eyes, that you'll see things a little different. And it says that these two were walking onto this road to Emmaus, and suddenly a man came up next to them that they did not recognize. Luke 24, 16 on the screen says, "And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached, and he began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." There are many other places in the Bible where the same type of thing happened, where God came near or he manifested himself in another form, and people at first didn't recognize it was God. One of those first places was in Genesis 18. Abraham was the friend of God, so Abraham knew God. He knew God's voice. He knew what God was like. He had a close, intimate relationship with God. But on one occasion in Genesis 18, three strangers, it says, were approaching the camp where Abraham and Sarah were. Three strangers. And at first, Abraham did not know this. But after some conversation and after some time with these three strangers, Abraham discerned this was God. God in a different form. God in the voice of these strangers. And he knew God was talking to him through this incident. And I think we've all had moments where God was ministering to us, and at first we didn't recognize it was God. Maybe it was through the voice of a stranger. Maybe it was someone who was talking to us. Maybe it was through a circumstance that we began to realize, wait a minute, God is in this. He has arranged this. And we didn't recognize it until later on that it was actually God himself who was there ministering to us in some form that we at first did not recognize him. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others, come on, do not. You don't want to miss him, because he may come to you in a way that you don't recognize. He may come to you and minister to you in a way that you at first are not necessarily recognizing as him. Jacob in the Bible was another one who had this incredible experience. Jacob was, you know, in the process of being changed and into Israel, the mighty man of God. And he, one moment, the Bible says he camped at a place called Luz, L-U-Z. And the place Luz, the name of the place, is actually symbolic of his kind of life that he was living. The name Luz, where he was camping, means to turn aside from wisdom. So symbolically, we see that this is where Jacob was in his spiritual walk with God. Jacob is camped here, symbolic of his lifestyle as a deceiver, a con man, a trickster, a manipulator type of guy. This is how he thinks he's got to get things from God or get favor on his life. And there in the night, he has a dream. And in this dream, he sees this ladder going up to heaven, and he sees angels ascending and descending through this. And he realizes later that it's God showing him, Jacob, you don't have to deceive. You don't have to try to trick your way into getting things I have for you. I will freely come down upon you and bless you if you'll just believe me and trust me and wait patiently for my way. And then he woke up from the dream and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. We've all had experiences where God has made himself known to us in a strange way, and we realize God was with us all the time. And God is with us, and we don't know it. Most of the church is not aware of it. We say we believe that he's Emmanuel, God with us. We say that we believe the words of Jesus, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but we don't live like it. We don't recognize he's with us. We fall into a panic when things don't happen like we expected them to happen. Or God doesn't come through and give us that breakthrough at that moment that we had hoped for. And then we go into a panic, or we go into worry. What are we going to do now? And we go into worry, which is unbelief and is a sin. And the question is at that moment is it, do we really believe? Or do we have to see something in order to believe? If I could only see something, then I could believe. And most people think if they could only see something of God, then they would believe. But God intends for his people to believe before they see anything, and then they will see things in the spirit that other people do not see. Luke 24:17, Jesus said to these disciples on this road to Emmaus, he says, what are these words you're exchanging as you're walking along? They didn't recognize. Remember, he appeared as a stranger to them. And they stood still looking sad. And they basically said to him, are you the only one around here who hasn't heard about the prophet Jesus and how we had believed in him? We had hoped that he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel, and he came and did many miracles, signs, and wonders, and he's crucified by the chief priests and the Romans. And are you the only one that hasn't heard this? Do you not know what's actually going on? Are you unaware of the news? And he says, well, what things are you talking about? And in verse 21, they reveal the really root problem. Verse 21, it says, well, we believed in this Jesus, this prophet. We followed him, and so did many other people. But then he was crucified. Now he's dead. And then now there's some people that say they saw him, and they saw his resurrected body. And we just don't know what to believe. I mean, if we could just see him ourselves, then I guess we would believe. And here they are talking to God. And here's their statement that reveals so much. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. That's where we go astray. But we were hoping he was going to do this. We were hoping he was going to answer our prayers this way. We were hoping that this was going to happen. We were hoping this was going to be our breakthrough. We were hoping that he was hearing our prayers and he would do what we'd ask him to do. We were hoping, but it didn't happen like we expected. And now we don't know what to believe. And they were living in one of the greatest moments of history. Instead of being excited, they were discouraged. They were sad. They were depressed. At one time in their life, they had passion. One time in their life, they had fire. When they saw Jesus feed 5,000 people at one time with 3 loaves and 2 fishes, they were, whoa, look at this. And when they saw Jesus heal blinded eyes, when they saw him raise up a dead person, they were excited. They had passion. But now the passion's gone because they don't see Jesus, and he didn't do what they had hoped he would do in their lives. Now they wondered, what's going to happen? And they had disappointment with God over how things had turned out. And that's the same problem with people even in the church today. Something has happened in your life that you did not expect would ever happen. A grave disappointment. Your child got pregnant. That wasn't supposed to happen. You trained them. You taught them. You went to seminars with them. You brought them up a right way. But what happened? What a grave disappointment. Your marriage broke up. You never expected that. You're Christians. You're believing in the Lord. You're trusting in God. And how did this happen? You never expected that. Oh, if you'd have looked back in your life as a teenager, planning your life, you were going to go here and do this, and you were going to become that, and your life was already just a storybook written out. But that hasn't happened. It hasn't happened anything like that. And now you kind of go, wow, what's going on? So now you're disappointed about your life. God hasn't done things like you expected him to do. And the problem is that you only see things from your perspective, which is selfish living, as if God doesn't have other plans that you don't know about. And so you're in this selfish mode, you just see things from your perspective. And then Jesus' words, as he lets the guys talk, you know. And in verse 25, he says to them, Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the things the prophets have told you." Two things he called them. One, foolish. That's the word anotos in the Greek. And it means this. It's not a demeaning term. It's a very specific term. "Oh, foolish ones," it means one who does not govern his mind or his thoughts. They let their thoughts run wild. That's why they go into panic. Instead of governing their thoughts, instead of to obey God. And they have an unrenewed mind. They haven't renewed it with what God says. They're living by their senses and by what the world says. And no wonder they go into panic. No wonder they go into worry. No wonder they can't believe. Listen to me. An unrenewed mind is a dangerous mind. Amen, Pastor. An unrenewed mind is the devil's playground. He will play ping pong with your mind, and you'll go from fear to panic to wonder to doubt and unbelief all the days of your life, and you'll miss what God's been trying to show you. And then he calls them slow of heart to believe. In other words, you're hesitant. You are called to walk with Jesus. You're called to walk with Jesus. And your heart that you said you gave to Jesus has to override your mind, because your mind sometimes is not able to believe what Jesus is saying and showing you because it's so unbelievable. And the devil will try to talk you out of what God's trying to show you. God intends for every person, every Christian, to have an Emmaus Road experience. He wants our hearts to believe that what he has said in his word is more true than what we see. And then we'll start to see that he's always been there for us. God has some new things for you and for me. He wants you to see what's been unnoticeable up to this time. You walked by it, you've seen it, but you didn't see it. And from this day forward, because of an awakening, you're going to see things that were before unnoticeable to you, but now you're going to see them. You're going to see things in the scriptures that you've read it 100 times before, but now you're going to see it like you never saw it. You're going to say over and over to yourself, "Wow, I read that before, and I never even knew that was there." Because God's given you eyes to see things that you had never seen before. He wants you to pay attention to him. And the closer you get, the more you will see. He wants you to see that what you've been missing out on all your life. And God is going to drop thoughts into your spirit called revelation, that you may think you thought of this, but it came from God. One day, I shared this with the congregation on a Wednesday night several months ago. I was preaching here on a Wednesday night about the subject of death, how to prepare for it and how we should be prepared for it. And on that particular day, on my prayer walk, I've been walking on this path through my neighborhood. I walked through a graveyard. I've walked on it several months. On this particular day, at the particular time that I was talking to God about the sermon, the message I was going to preach that night, Wednesday night, about death. I'm talking to God now. How, God, you want me to, you know, share this and going over the message with him, and anything you want to change, show me, whatever. I turned my head to the left just about like that, and I saw for the first time a tombstone that said Washburn. And I'd walked on this path 6 months every day, almost every day through this, and never seen that. It's been 10 feet from me. But that day I saw it. And I stopped and I laughed. I said, Lord, you are so funny. Of all times of today when I'm preaching on this subject. And I took a picture of it with my phone and I showed it with the congregation. I said, they ain't going to believe me. This is too funny, God. And it's not a coincidence. And you're going to be things happening in your life that you'll be tempted to say is coincidence. It's not coincidence. It's God showing you that he's showing you. You need to write that down, because God's going to start showing you things just to show you he's showing you, because the devil's been trying to talk you out of it for so long. It's, oh, that's just a coincidence. That's just a figment of your imagination. That's not God. But God wants to show you that he's showing you. And the enemy's going to try to talk you out of it, but God wants to show you things to show you, I am with you. I'm always with you. Maybe you're going to start recognizing God in the breeze. Maybe it's in the birds singing. You'll recognize it. You can't tell anybody else because you'll sound crazy, but you'll just know that somehow at that moment, God is communicating to you something you needed to hear. And you'll recognize God's talking to you because he's always with you. He's living in you when you're born again. Maybe while you're reading the word, he's going to open up your understanding and you're going to see things that you never saw before. Or you're watching a television show and all of a sudden God will point out something to you. Or you're going to hear somebody talk to you who may even be a lost person, but the words they say, oh, I've heard that before, and you'll know God's been talking to you. What an exciting journey. Today is to be an Emmaus walk that you have with God. An awakening. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 2. For to us God revealed things through the Spirit. He revealed things to us through the Spirit. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might, say it with me, know the things freely given to us by God. God wants you to know. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit so you can know what God's given you, what he's communicating to you, how he's speaking to you. And he wants to teach you things, not in words of human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual things and spiritual thoughts to spiritual men. But if you're not born again, the Bible calls you a natural man. I mean, you're just a natural man, and that's the term for someone who doesn't have the Spirit of God. It says the natural man cannot understand the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But you who are in the Spirit can know them, and you should know them. But you have to grow in the Spirit. The disciples asked Jesus one time in the crowds, why do you speak in parables to the people? And Jesus' answer is very profound. He says, I speak to them in parables because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Just like Isaiah the prophet said, the heart of this people has become dull and their ears are scarce. They scarcely hear, and their eyes, they can't see, lest I should heal them. So that's why I have to speak to them in parables. Hebrews chapter 5, you can write this down. It tells us that if you stay immature in the Spirit, you're born again, but you're not growing in the things of God, you're not learning to recognize the Spirit when he's showing you something or when he's speaking to you something. If you stay immature, then you can't handle the meat of the word when it comes to you, because you'll choke on it. You have to have milk all the time because you just are immature. You must grow in the Spirit and become more spiritual. Now back to our story in Luke 24. What was happening is Jesus began to expound the word to them. It says that while they were going along, as he began in the scriptures, beginning with Moses, that's the beginning of Genesis, in the Old Testament, they didn't have New Testament scriptures yet. So beginning in the Old Testament, it says beginning with Moses, that's verse 27, and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Do you know the scriptures refer to Jesus? It's all about Jesus. He took them to Genesis. He said, now in Genesis, I want you to, that you guys know that that seed that God said he was going to use, it came out of Eve. He was going to use that one day to defeat Satan. You see, that seed, he was talking about the Messiah. He's explaining the scriptures to them. And you see, when Abraham was told to go sacrifice his only son Isaac, see, that was about the Messiah, how God himself was going to one day give his only begotten son. And that was all a picture and a type, you see, of Jesus, the sacrifice son in Genesis. Then in Exodus, see, there, you know that Passover lamb? Well, that Passover lamb, you know when they came out of Egypt, you know what that was all about? That was about the Messiah. That was about what John the Baptist said about the Jesus that you guys are crying and whining about. He said, he's the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. Jesus was that Passover lamb, you see. And he was also that manna from heaven that you heard about in Exodus. He was also that water from the rock that came out of Exodus. And then when you go to Leviticus, you see, he was all the sacrifices that's mentioned in Leviticus, all the offerings of God. And Jesus was that high priest, you know, that they talk about there. He was also that scapegoat in the book of Leviticus, you know. And then you go on to the book of Numbers, he says. And you know, remember that bronze serpent that Moses raised up out there in the desert? And when all the people were bitten by, well, that was Jesus. See, that was, he's the healer, you know. And he brought healing to his people like he healed everybody when he was here. Everybody who came to him, he healed them if they looked to him in faith. Then you go to Deuteronomy year and you learn about the prophet like Moses. And you see, Jesus was that prophet you guys were talking about. And, you know, those cities of refuge in the book of Deuteronomy there. Well, Jesus is that city of refuge, you see. And then you go to Joshua there. And Joshua, see, yeah, he's the captain of the Lord's host that wants to take people into the promised land of living and the place of rest they're supposed to be. Then you go to Judges there. And in Judges, yeah, he's the law. It's the perfect law of God, and he's also the lawgiver, you know. And then you go into Ruth, yeah, the book of Ruth, yeah, it was about the kinsman redeemer. Well, yeah, that's what Jesus did for you, see. He's the kinsman redeemer. And then you go to the book of Samuel, you see, he was the prophet of the Lord. You see, the heart of David in him was really the heart of God. The heart of Jesus was that. And then you go in the book of Kings, and you see he's the reigning king. And then you go into Chronicles, and you see that that glory that came down upon Solomon's temple that he built, oh, yeah, well, that was about Jesus. See, that's the glory of Jesus. And then you go to the book of Ezra there and you see the faithful scribe and Jesus was the faithful word of God. And then you see Nehemiah, he rebuilt the walls. Remember that were falling down? Well, Jesus, that he's the one that rebuilds the walls of your life. And then you go to the book of Esther and you see there, he's the Mordecai who told Esther, no, you are here for such a time as this. Don't you ever forget that. And you go to the book of Job and you see all that suffering of Job that he went through and everything. And you show how, well, you may have sadness one day, but joy comes in the morning. And you will have blessing in the end if you hold on and you have faith. Then you go to the book of Psalms, and he's the music. It's all in the poetic language. He's the Lord who is our shepherd. And you go into Proverbs and all that wisdom there, you see a display of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus. And then you go in the Song of Solomon, and you see he's the lover, and he's the bridegroom as well. And you go into Isaiah, you see the suffering servant. Well, that was all about Jesus. You go to Jeremiah and Lamentations, and you see there that weeping prophet, that was Jesus who wept over Jerusalem and all the things that were coming. You go to the book of Ezekiel and you see he's the Son of Man in the glory. You go to the book of Daniel, you see he's the fourth man that was in that fire there that nobody knew. That was the Son of Man. And then you go to Hosea and you see the faithful husband who does not give up on his bride no matter how unfaithful she is. And then you go to the book of Joel and you see he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said you would be. You go to the book of Amos and you see he's the burden bearer. You go to the book of Obadiah, you see he's a mighty savior. You go to the book of Jonah, you see he's the forgiving God. And even 3 days he was in the belly of the whale or the fish for three. That was all about Jesus, you see. You go to Micah, you see he's a messenger born in the Bethlehem that was prophesied. You go to the book of Nehemiah, he's the avenger of God's elect. You go to the book of Habakkuk, you see he's the intercessor who was watching the watchman on the wall, who was crying out for revival. You go to the book of Zephaniah, he's the restorer of the remnant. You go to the book of Hezekiah, he's the cleansing fountain. You go to the book of Zechariah, and he's the one that was going to ride into Jerusalem. Remember Zechariah prophesied that your Messiah is going to ride in on a donkey on that day. That's the day you choose the lamb. Well, I was the lamb. Or he said, I'm Jesus was that lamb, you know, that rode in that day that he was talking about. And you go into Malachi, the last book of what you guys know about, and he's the son of righteousness that comes with healing in his wings. And he says, don't you guys understand this stuff? And it says in verse 31, their eyes were open because the living word expounded upon the written word. It's all about him. And they saw what they had never seen before. Even though they heard it preached, they'd seen it, they'd read it, they'd never seen it before, but now they saw it for themselves, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Jesus, come back. Whoa, no, don't leave us, stay. Don't leave now. We need you. Why did he vanish? I already told you. I told you at the very beginning. Why did Jesus, when they recognized him, he vanished? Why did he vanish? I told you at the very beginning, because Jesus said, it's more blessed for those who have not seen and believe. He wants you to be more blessed to not see and yet know. He's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's in me. I can hear him because I'm one of his sheep. I can see things in the Spirit because the Spirit reveals them to me. No. He's with me. I don't have to see to believe. I believe, and because I believe, I see. And then they said to one another, they said, verse 32, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn? Did you feel that? I mean, my heart was burning inside me before we knew it was in, and he was expanding. Man, my heart was on, yeah, me too. My heart was on fire when he was explaining the scriptures. And oh, by the way, Emmaus, that little town, is known for having a hot spring. That's why people would go there. It has a hot spring. And these people lost their fire and they're going to the hot spring. And Jesus met them because their spiritual fire had died out, and Jesus started the fire again. Start a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Start a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. And God is saying, I want more of you, Gary. I want more of you, Kathy. I want more of you, Ann. I want more of you, Don. I want more of you, Pam. God's singing that back to you. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. You can have all of me that you can possibly contain. If you can have as much as me, as I've already given you everything of me. It's all available to you. You don't even have to ask me for it. I have given you everything. Everything of myself that you can have while you're here on this earth is yours. I'm there with you. I'm present with you. Three types types of people that are here today. One's, number one, whose heart is burning with the fire of God. How do I know my heart is burning with the fire of God? Even while the preacher is preaching the scriptures, you begin to know there's a fire. I feel, I'm stirred already. Oh yeah, amen. What he's saying, oh yeah, amen. I hear God in that. I know God's talking to me. He's already said it to me this week, and now I hear it again. I know God's, and so while I'm preaching the scriptures and while I'm speaking the word, the very words of Jesus to you, there's a fire that's burning down in your soul, and you know you're stirred, you're moving. You've already got the fire, see. You've got that. There are people here who have that fire. Then there are some folks here who had it, but they lost it. One time they were moving mightily in the spirit. They had the fire of God. But they drifted somehow. And we don't even need to explore how. But God brought you here today for a course correction. Do not leave here without the course correction. God brought you here for the course correction. There is no reason for you to leave here without the fire of God back on the altar of your heart today. There is no reason. There is absolutely no reason. And number three, there are ones here without the fire of God. They've never experienced it. You're not right with God. You know you're not right with God. You were planning on just coming to church because someone invited you and you felt obligated. You came with your wife because you've been nagging at you to come, or, well, you know, whatever, friend, whatever. And so you're here and you think, well, 12 o'clock we'll be out of there and we'll be at Sunday's eating or something like that, you know. And that was your plan. You know, I'm just going to show up and I don't believe in all this stuff anyway. And you came here and God brought you here. Little did you know, he orchestrated it. Today is your day. And you are not to leave here, sir, the way you came. You are not. God captured your attention. You've been more focused on a message than you ever have been for a long time. And you know God is speaking prophetically into your life. You would even say to me, well, preacher, I thought you were just talking directly to me today. And I would say, well, yes, I was. God is talking through me to you. And it's a direct line. And today is your appointment, sir. Today is your appointment to meet with God and let him have your life, and you let him be your Lord, and you must respond. You must respond to this altar call because it could mean life or death to you. Do not play with the things of God. Now, I'm going to walk back. I'm going to ask the worship team just come on back up, and I'm going to walk back and forth. That's all I'm going to do. This is my instructions. I'm going to walk back and forth, and spontaneously I'm just going to worship. I'm just going to worship. And the presence of God, I believe, is going to fall on some of you in a powerful way at this altar. I really do believe that. Ushers, you need to be ready. Counselor workers, you need to come get in place right now. Just get up and come right now. If you already know God is dealing with you deeply, as if you were the only one here, then get up and come before, don't wait until I call. Just get up and come and do business with God. Meet with God here at this altar. The counselors are going to minister to you. If you need a prophetic word, we have prophetic ministry that goes on right over here with Sam and Ashley afterwards. They're going to be right over. They may minister to you at the altar call. Who knows? Just come on up. If you need a healing in your body, you come. But the main thing today is that God wants to minister to you. He's spoken his word over you. He wants to touch you. He's already healed people. He's showing you that he can do it. These are not crazy people who testified, God healed me today. These are people who are sincere. Just in case you were wondering. But God intends for you to have an Emmaus experience today, that your eyes will be opened, your ears will be opened, and you'll begin to recognize God is showing you things and saying things to you that you would have missed a day ago. And I'm going to encourage everybody to stand right now. I'm going to encourage you to come to the altar and meet with God. Just meet with God. Repent of dullness of heart. Repent of lack of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to do what He said He wants to do. Position yourself before Him and say, God, open the eyes of my heart. God, open my eyes that I might see. Open my ears to be attentive to your call. And let Him do what only He can do. And then I would encourage you to start keeping a journal starting today. A journal, and you write down every day, how did God manifest Himself to me today? How did I recognize God was talking to me today? Was it through a stranger? Was it through a thing I would have normally called a coincidence? Was it through a scripture? Was it somebody that God just sent to me? Listen, position yourself. You've got to get off the milk and get onto the meat by exercising your spiritual senses. You'll be amazed how you grow in sensitivity to the Spirit.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.